Morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Kuf Aleph. We begin today in the Mishnah on Kuf Amud Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for our sponsorship of the daf as well as Zechen Ishmael Lupin, Gabriela Bashmuel. We begin with the next Mishnah in the ninth parak of Baba Kama, and we are talking about, yesterday we talked a lot about malpractice amongst butchers and amongst the coin inspectors. Today we're going to be talking about other professions and professional liability in the event that they don't do the job correctly. So, I know it's in some letzava. So you take your wool and you're going to give it to the dyer, and he's going to die. V'igdichu yore. However, when he put up the pot, the pot's going to be cooking the simanim, the various herbs, spices, ingredients that are going to constitute the dye. And what happened is that he put the oven on too high, or in this case, he set the fire up too high, and v'igdichu yore, and the pot burned the wool. So the wool that went in, the wool belonged to the Baal Bais. He put the wool in, the dyer put the wool in, and the dyer just simply burnt it. He burnt the wool. So no sin lo demeit simrum. So okay, so that's pretty simple. Meaning he destroyed the wall and he's got to pay back that which he did. Even though he is not a gozlan, he didn't steal. Certainly did not have intention to steal. But the basic idea is, as we discussed this before in the perek, is that even Bishogi, even though it was certainly inadvertent, he certainly didn't want to do that. His reputation now has certainly been impugned as a result of this. But still, Lamaisa, he destroyed somebody's property. So now he has to make good and he has to pay back that which he paid. We've already made the diuk a number of times throughout the perek that the mate Simro, he pays the Tzemer, but he doesn't pay the Shevach. He doesn't pay any of the improvement that may or may not have happened. And we discussed that, and the Gemara earlier discussed one of two possibilities. Either one is that it burned right away, meaning that the moment it got into the pot, it burned up right away, and so there was no Shevach, or maybe no, maybe they did receive the Shevach, and then it was burnt. Okay, and these are discussions that we had earlier in the parak regarding this case of the Mishnah. Notzon lo demeit Simro, Tzavu Ka'or. Let's say he gives him the demeit simro and the dyer dyed it, but he dyed it ka'or. Now, the Gemara is going to explain what does ka'or mean. He did the job. He did the job almost correctly. Got the color basically right, but he really did an inferior job. In other words, instead of dyeing it with the actual dyes themselves, what happened was that there was some residue dye in the bottom of the pot, and basically the craftsman looked to be cheap on this in this regard, and basically he figured, you know what, I'm sure I can scrape together enough dye to get into the wool. So he did the job, but he did really an inferior job. It's noticeably inferior. So ima shevach yoseh alisiyah, nosan lo yoseh yoseh ala shevach, nosan lo yoseh shevach. So, as Rashi over here in the Mishnah explains, it's not a shinui. We have not made, the dyer has not made a significant change in the item. If we're talking about a shinui, so then shinui kona. So then the dyer has acquired it, and then we're basically back to reimbursing the original product. But it's not a shinui. He did the job, but he did an inferior job. Because he did an inferior job, so the Mishnah says, here's what's going to happen. The owner of the wool is going to pay. But the owner of the wool is not going to pay for the full payment, because he didn't do a good job. The owner of the wool is going to be paying, look, it either went up in value, okay, because he dyed it. Not either. That happened. It went up in value. And also, you put in yitzia. In other words, there was certainly product cost that you put in terms of the dye itself. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. The owner of the wool says to the dyer, I'll pay you, but the less of the two. So either it's going to be whatever cost you put in to make in terms of dyeing it, I'll put that in, or the shevach, or the improvement that the wool actually increased, whichever is the less of the two, that's what I'm going to pay you. But I'm not going to pay you the full payment that we agreed upon, for the simple reason that you didn't do a good job. You looked to cut corners qualitatively, and therefore I'm not paying you the full amount. And the Mishnah says, and that's totally within his right to do so, the owner of the wool. We're up to now the third case of the Mishnah. Third case of the Mishnah, he gives it to the dyer. The dyer dyes it and dyes it the wrong color. Okay, so here, patently did not do a good job, did not do a correct job. Dyed a different color. Okay, black versus red. Sometimes elsewhere in the Gemara, like the Gemara Nida, for example, black and red are viewed as shades of the same. But over here, that's in other areas of halacha. But over here, black and red are clearly two different colors, and the dye did not dye the correct color. Rabbi Meir Omer Nosen Lo Demet Simro. So Rabbi Meir says, okay, it's very simple, shinui, meaning a change has been affected in the wool. It's not the same. It's not the color that he wanted, and so therefore you're going to be paying the value of the wool. It's basically a shinui, and shinui is kona, and now the dyer is going to have to pay the value of the wool. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Im Hashavach Yosel Yitzia Nosen Lo Yitzia Ve Im Yitzia. So on this regard, Rav Yehuda goes back to the position that we said earlier, even though it's a different case. Earlier we talked about how he got the color right, but it was just inferior. Here, didn't get the color right. Still, Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that it's not enough of a change so that it would constitute shinui kone, meaning he did dye it. He did dye it a color, not the color, but a color. And so therefore, once again, according to Rav Yehuda, you're going to basically now have the owner of the wool pay for the lesser of the values. Either the value of Yitzia, the amount the dyer put in, or the actual improvement, the financial improvement of the product. But that's it. He's not going to be paying anything more than that. And of those two, the lesser of those two.
So what if it increases the value of the wool?
Yeah, so if it decreases the value of the wool, so according to Rameir, then it's easy, because then there was a shinui. So for Rameir's position, it goes either way. In other words, increase, decrease doesn't matter. Shinui is kona, it created a change in the item, and therefore acquired the item, the dyer acquired the item, and that's where we're good. Your question really is on Rav Yehuda, meaning in Rav Yehuda's scenario, where he's of the opinion that you're going to be paying the less of the two, here it's a choice between a cost versus an actual depreciation. Right. So, seemingly, in other words, the negative, I'm not sure. In other words, I would say that the negative would basically count in this regard as zero. I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay.
By the way, it's good for the owner.
Yeah, right. The owner for sure will pay nothing, and then is the owner going to get reimbursed? Right. Okay, that's, I don't know. My ka'or. So the Gemara starts off with a linguistic question, and that is the Mishnah used the word ka'or. Now the word ka'or in the Mishnah is chaf aleph vav resh. Now the word ka'or with an ayin means disgusting, and in fact we're going to say out that word later on, but that's not the word in the Mishnah. The Mishnah uses the word of ka'or, and the Gemara, recognizing that's not a very popular word that's used in the Mishnah in this context, so the Gemara says, my ka'or, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Amarabba, Babrachana, Kalbus. So the Gemara gives another translation of what it is, and the Gemara says, my Kalbus, but again, that's very good if you know what that word means. So Amarabba Bashmuel, Kafri Dude, Kafri Dude, the Dude is a pot, and the Kafra is basically the Schmutz, now I'm giving another another word, something on the bottom of the pot. If you take a look at the top Rashi over here, Kinechbo is a Yara Klummer, Bishayarate Sevishin Starbi Yara. So basically the leftover dye that was in the bottom of the pot, and what the dyer looked to do is basically try to squeeze out one more dye out of that which is found in the bottom of the pot, and then Rashi gives you other places where we find these words that are used in the Gemara. Anyway, Tana Rabbanan. We start now on the top of Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, and we begin with a Braisa. I know it's an Eitzim L'Charash. You give wood to a carpenter, right? Again, the word Cheresh, Charash, same letters, but different words over here, carpenter. So I know it's an Eitzim L'Charash, Lassos Mem Kise Vasa Mem Safsa. So you gave it to him to make a chair, and he made a bench. Safsa Vasa Mem Kise, he asked for a bench, and he made a chair. Rameir Omer Nosan Lo Demei Eitzav. So once again, this is the same debate that we had back in our Mishnah regarding coloring different colors. The dyer colored different dyers, meaning he got the job right, meaning he dyed, but what he did is he got the color wrong. So is getting the color wrong, is that considered enough of a shinui? So in the Mishnah we had a machlokas between Rameh and Rav Yehuda, and in the Braisa, it's going to be the same application, just in terms of the difference between a bench and a chair. Meaning the difference between a bench and a chair is the same as the difference between coloring black versus red. And I guess if I could try to put this in terms of definitional terms, meaning from a functional standpoint, it's the same. Meaning you sit on it. From a dyeing standpoint, functionality, it's the same. It's a different color. But of course, you ask for a bench and you got a chair. Or vice versa. So it's the Gemara puts it really on the same on the same parallel plane. And so here we go. Machlokas. Rav Yehuda Amar Mishavach Yosi Olitzia Nosin Lo Osi Yitzia. V'yem Etzia Yisera La Shevach Nosin Lo Osa Shevach. So here, Rav Meir is of the opinion that Sorry, I skipped a line, and I was wondering, like, what happened? Okay, my apologies. Let's go back, third line down. Rameir omer noson lo demei itzav. So Rameir says you pay the value of the wood. Yes, that's Rameir, the same Rameir of our Mishnah, meaning this constitutes a shinui. Shinui is kona, and so therefore the carpenter now has for himself a brand new chair. But of course, he has to pay for the wood that was given to him. And Rav Yehuda Amar Meshavach Yosel Yitzia Nosin Lo Yitzia V'Imi Yitzia Sera Al Shavach Nosin Lo Shavach. Great. And according to Rav Yehuda, no. In other words, this is not enough of a shinui. It still now belongs to the owner. It will be returned to the owner, and the owner is going to pay the lesser of the two. Either it's going to be the actual improved value that the carpenter put in, or it's going to be whatever appreciated value it went up. Umode Rav Meir, but here Rav Meir is going to agree to the following. Let's say you give to the carpenter and you ask him to make a chair and you ask him to make a good chair. Right? Kisei na. Right? Make a really nice chair. And vasamem kisei ko'or. And here, he made a kisei ko'or. Here's the same word, but with an ayin. Right? In other words, kumichu'ar. It's disgusting. It was just an inferior chair. Safso na vasa safso ko'or. Him yishbiach yosel yitzia nosin lo demei yitzia. V'him yitzia yisera la shevach nosin lo demei shevach. Here, Rav Yehuda will agree to Rav Meir. Because it's not enough of a shinui. A chair was asked for, a chair was made. Yeah, but that wasn't, I asked for a nice chair and you didn't make a nice chair. Okay, that's true. But it's not enough of a shinui where the carpenter now owns it. It now belongs to the Baal Bais. But because it was qualitatively inferior, so therefore the Baal Bais does not have to pay for the full agreed price that he was going to pay for, but rather, again, the lesser of the two costs, either the actual investment that went in to make it or a appreciated value, whichever is less. Ibai Lahu. Okay, for a good part of today's daf, we're going to be contemplating now the next question of the Gemara. Ye shevach semanim al tzemer, or ye shevach semanim al tzemer. You dye a garment. How do we look at that dye halachically? Is that dye its independent entity, or is the dye just simply considered now part and parcel of the begad? Can we say dye in its, right, just as a color on a garment has its own status and its own, basically its own zip code, if you will. Right, yei shevach, if you take a look at Rashi over here, klomer. Chazusa milsihi olav milsa. Rashi says it so succinctly, that's why he's Rashi. Do we say that appearance is something which is significant, or do we say it's not significant? You will see as we go through the Gemara exactly how this would manifest out as a practical question. Right, the Gemara is not into philosophy, the Gemara is not trying to philosophize. The Gemara just simply wants to know now, halachically, how do we view the color itself? Hey, Chidam, so the Gemara says, okay, now let's play this out practically. How would this question impact? So the Gemara says, okay, so let's say I go to my neighbor and I steal simanim, meaning the actual roots themselves, the plant itself. And then what I do is I go home and I grind it up and I soak it and then I color with those. So the Gemara says, and the question now is that I've now turned it into dye, meaning I've turned it into just a color on a garment, and do I have to pay back? So the Gemara says, well, that's not the question. There, I went over to my friend and what did I take from him? I took the roots. I took the actual plant itself. And then I ground it up and then I cook. Of course I have to pay for that. I should was kone with shinui. I've created, obviously, an irreversible change in the original item. So the Gemara says, so then it doesn't, the question doesn't even get off the ground. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe the question goes like this. Maybe already now the plant has already been ground up, the plant has already been boiling in a pot, so now I have the dye in its liquid form in a pot, and it belongs to somebody else, it belongs to Reuven, and I go over and I now take my garment and I put it in the pot and it absorbs some of the dye, and now what? Now do I have to pay back that which I stole? Because what I take? In other words, the only thing I have to show for now is the new color that's found in my garment. And I didn't make a shinui, meaning because it's already been reduced to its liquid form. And so now all I did was just collect a little bit and put it on my garment. So my yeshevach simanim agabit semer da'amar le havli simanim d'shakatinu. So the Gemara says, can the nigzal say to the gazlan, okay, return it back to me, give it back. Odilma ain shevach simanim agabit semer da'amar le sakabai v'lo midi. Or maybe the gazlan can say to the nigzal, look, we're speaking now just from a strictly technical standpoint, I don't have anything. I mean, what do I have right now? I have color on a garment. That's all I got. It's nothing. The color is nothing. And therefore, I have nothing to return for you. And again, we're not discussing right or wrong. Wrong, wrong, and wrong. It's obviously what he did was wrong. We're just talking about whether or not there's any type of financial reparation that needs to be done.
But the guy is missing paint. Some quantity of paint.
So the Gemara says, now, let's go over the second argument. The second argument is, look, what do I got? Right? Like the player who says, I didn't foul. Like, I don't have anything. To which, that was the argument. To which now, the Nigzal now is going to say back to the Gazlan, Havli Simani Da'afsiditinu. So the Gazlan will say to, I'm sorry, the Nigzal will say to the Gazlan, look, you want to tell me that the color on your garment is nothing? Okay, fine. That's fine. But I had a pot of dye, and you dipped your coat in, and some was taken away. So I don't care what that is, what that isn't. It really doesn't bother me. The bottom line is, I'm missing some of my dye. You have to reimburse me for the dye that you took. So the Gemara says, okay. So once again, even though the question is great, but we don't have a practical application of this question. Is the color on a garment, is that considered halachically significant or insignificant? The Gemara says, at this point in time, it's a great question, but who cares if it doesn't have a practical application? El al hachiso, so the Gemara says, okay, let's try it this way. Literally, that's what the words mean. El al hachiso, let's go to this side. So let's do it this way. Shevach zemanim agabe etzemer. So is it that I have the improved dye on the wool and therefore you have to pay me? I'm sorry, shakinu. So the Gemara says, okay, we are all in agreement that there has to be some sort of remuneration. And that's clear. I took my wool, I put it in your pot, I've soaked up some of your dye. Okay, we all agree. I took something away from you and I have to pay you back. Maybe the Gemara says, here's what's that issue. And what's that issue is, how do you pay back? Do I pay back with money, meaning I took from you, and now it's no longer in my garment, meaning it's just color, that's all it is. So we can't, I know it's going to sound funny as I say it, we can't see it, meaning obviously we could see it, it's the color, but it's not there, so therefore I have to pay you back with money. Or maybe the counter argument would be, you know what, you're right, I stole from you, I'm sorry, I'm going to return it, here it is. And he just gives him the wool back. And he says, go get it back from the wool. And the Gemara says, even there, shaklina b'mai. So the Gemara says, and now what's the Nigzal supposed to do? He's supposed to extract the dye out of the wool? So the Gemara says, shakli b'tzaf. And the Gemara says, and even if you can get the dye out of the wool, right? The Gemara talks about rubbing it with some sort of chemical, soap, whatever it is. Tzafan avur me'avar. Yes, it's true. You can extract the dye out of the wool, but hashav alavit. But it's not, right, it's not going to go back to the original state in which it was, which was a dye that could color a garment. It's not going to be that again. So the Gemara says, so again, we're back to square one. We're asking the question whether the color that exists now on a garment, is that substantial or is that not substantial? And again, the question is great, but practically speaking, what difference does it make? If I take your dye by taking my wool and putting it in your dye, so A, I took something from you, even if the color is halachically insignificant, I took something from you, so I have to pay you back. And B, when I pay you back, I can't just simply say, here, take the dye back, because it's irreversible. So now, the question's great, but practically speaking, it doesn't mean anything.
What in the same principle as applies to the field? If there's a tree that was destroyed in the field, we don't say the value of the tree, you say the value of the field before and after the tree.
Right.
The pot of paint before and after the thing dipped.
Right, it's true. Any vegetation growing on the ground is always considered batel, it's always considered subordinate to the ground itself. Here, the color was an independent entity.
But you can't say, what is the value of this pot of paint before and after the guy?
Okay, could be. Well, the Gemara, let's see. The Gemara is going to play this out. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe it goes like this. I went over to my friend's house and I stole wool and I stole the dye. Okay, now, in other words, I felt generous towards myself today, and so I stole two things. And what I then did is I combined the two. Okay, and I took the wool and I dipped it in the dye, and now I start feeling bad. It is Elul, and I go back to him and I say to him, "Look, you know what? I'm really sorry. I stole from you. I stole wool and I stole dye, and I combined the two. And you know what? I feel so terrible. Here it is." And I hand him back the wool, colored wool, and so now the Gemara says, "Oh, here we go. Now it gets interesting." So I'm sorry. So and then I just simply to return the wool to him. So the Gemara says, so on one hand, now the argument may go, "Well, look, I stole wool and I stole dye from you. I know I combined the two, but look, the color is its own independent entity, even still on the garment, and so therefore, hashava, I returned it to you." And oh, by the way, I won't even charge you for putting the two together. In other words, but here, both things are coming back to you.
You stole from one person.
So the Gemara says, or maybe no. Maybe once the dye now is just a color on a garment, it has no independent entity, it has no identity, and so therefore all I'm doing is returning wool to him. And as far as the dye is concerned, I have to make now a separate payment for the dye which I took. So the Gemara says, okay, here's how, it's a limited case obviously, but here's how the question now may in fact play out. So the Gemara says, "Tepukle di yakar le niale b'dame." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but you know what? When I'm returning the wool to him that's now dyed, isn't it now higher price? It's higher in value." So the Gemara says, as a practical question, once again, we've kind of lost the point, because let's say, just to throw out numbers, the wool that I stole from him was worth $100. The dye that I stole from him was worth $50. Again, just throwing out numbers. Okay, so the dye that I stole was $150. And now I took the wool, I put in the dye, now I have now dyed wool. And again, just for the purpose of argument, let's say there's no dye left. All the dye now is in the wool. Okay, and the question we're asking now is the color now that's on the wool. Is it its own separate entity, or it's just appearance, that's all it is. And so the Gemara says, and now good, nafkamina. Now we have a practical difference. Why? Because I'm going to return the wool to him. If the color on top of it is its own separate entity, I fulfilled my mitzvah of hashava. Beheshev is like zela. Because I stole both and I returned both. If the color is not significant, so the Gemara is saying, okay, so I return the wool, but I have to return the dye. And on this now, the Gemara is saying, even here, it's not really going to be a practical difference. Why? Because when I dye the wool, the dyed wool is going to be more in value than the undyed wool. So effectively, what I'm now doing is, I'm handing him back the wool with the color on it. It's going to be worth more. Again, just for argument's sake, let's say it went up in price now from $100 to $150. So I took from him $150 worth. I'm returning to him $150 worth, so the Gemara says. So once again, question's great, but it doesn't play out practically. What difference does it make? So the Gemara says, probably thought of this already, so the Gemara says, okay, well, maybe the argument will be in the event that when the color dye that I returned back to him was not valued at $150, but let's say it's valued at $130. And now, I stole from him $150 worth of material, wool and dye, and now I'm only returning him to him dyed wool, which is only valued at $130. So once again, if the dyed wool now is only valued at $130, so now, if the dye and the wool are the same entity that I took from him, okay, sorry, here it is. Here's the wool, here's the dye. If the dye is considered nothing, halachically, so now I have to make restitution, and restitution I have to make is going to be, well, the wool I'm giving back to him, but another, I guess, $20 on top of the dyed wool. That's the Gemara says, okay, so really, it's limited, it's extraordinarily limited in this Gemara in terms of how the question actually is going to play out. But the question we're asking is, once dye hits the wool and now changes the color, is it a significant item in of itself? Does it still have its own identity? Or no, it's just a new color and it doesn't have its own identity? Although the question's great, the practical application is going to be extraordinarily limited. E by Isaimo, we're on the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud, Aleph 2Y. guidelines down. Or the Gemara says, now Rashi over here offers two pshatim. I'll go with the first pshat in Rashi. It's unbelievably comical. So Rashi says that what I did with the dye is I took the dye and I colored a monkey with a dye. Right? Rashi, first pshat. I stole a monkey, I stole the dye. So then I color the monkey and I'm returning now the monkey. And the, I know. And from the same person. And the, as Rashi points out over here, there's no appreciative difference between a white monkey and now a blue monkey. Okay, so there's no difference. And so now, again, based on our question of whether or not the dye itself, once it's applied, does it have its own identity? So if the answer is yes, so then we're good. I mean, we're good. I mean, you and your blue monkey are going to be so happy. But we're good, meaning I returned everything I stole from you. I stole the monkey, I stole the dye, I'm returning both to you. Good. You're happy? No. But I'll try to make you happy. But I'm returning everything I stole. If the color does not have its own independent identity, so then I stole the monkey, I'm returning the monkey. Monkey, even though it has a new color, but doesn't go up in value, and so therefore I have to make full remuneration on the dye that I stole.
The expense of removing.
Right. Assuming. Right. Gemara right now, in other words, it's what you're saying is good. The Gemara right now is just focused on whether or not the color has its own separate identity. Ravina Amar Achba, my skin could go into summer dechad, visimanim dechad. So the Gemara now gives another possible practical application. And that is as follows. Look, the wool belongs to one person. The dye belongs to another person. And Vikasi Kof, and here we go now introducing a monkey back into the discussion. Here, however, previously poor monkey was colored. Here, monkey just has a job to do. And that is Vitzave Lo Utsamer Banach Samanim. And so now what the monkey did is he took the he put into the dye, and now very good. So yeshevach simanim al gabit semer. So damalei havle simanim degabech ninu. Now, as Rashi points out over here, we're not talking about gzela. We're just simply talking about monkey gone wild, which, you know, that's how these things work. He's a monkey. So when the monkey now takes my wool and puts it in your dye, and I didn't do it, in other words, it was a monkey who did it, so now, okay, give it back to me. Okay, fine, here it is. In other words, it's just now in a new form, it's on the wool, but it still has its own identity. Okay. Or on the other hand, the person could say, look, I'm really sorry. In other words, and by the way, the monkey does not belong to either one of them, because then you'd be liable for damages done by your monkey. But in other words, basically, the monkey over here is just simply a way of indicating nobody's at fault. In other words, it just happened. The wool and the dye were combined. And so now, do I have to actually reimburse you now for dye, or can I just simply say it's on the wool? Okay, enjoy. Okay, so again, another possible application of this question of whether or not color is significant or color is not significant. Okay, so the question was asked, and basically the Gemara has not answered the question, but the Gemara just did an exploration of how exactly would this play out as a practical case. The question remains, when you put a color into something, is that new color have an identity to it? Or no? It's just a new color, and it has no halachic significance. So the Gemara says, watch this play out now in many other areas of halacha. Gemara says, Tashma. We are in the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. So let's consider the following now. We'll learn a Mishnah in the third parak of Arla. The Isser of Arla is that for the first 3 years after you plant a tree, all fruit that grow on the tree are asr bi'achila uvehana. You can't eat the fruit. You cannot benefit from the fruit. The Isser is only applicable to the fruit, not to the actual tree itself. Begesh etzafa b'klipe arla. So, I have a garment, and the arla fruit was cooked down. The klipim, the shells of the fruit were cooked down. And used as a dye. Rashi over here very specifically writes, we're talking about the shells of the fruit. Right, Rashi writes, Klipe egozim v'sharperos. Ava klipa sa'eitzlo, de'ein arla ela beperos. Good. Rashi over here reminds us that the Isser of Arla is only on the fruit, not on the tree itself. So now I have a garment that is dyed with a fruit of Arla. So now, Yidlak, so the Mishnah over there says, in no uncertain terms, it needs to be destroyed. Meaning that the fruit are asabachila uvehana, and so therefore you can't get benefit from it. Wearing the garment will constitute an iser hana'a, and therefore you have to destroy the garment. So the Gemara says, okay, so I think now it's pretty much an open and shut case. Because the question we asked is, once it is now turned into color, once the dye is turned into color, and it just colors garment, does it still have identity? The answer right now seems to be,
yes.
Of course it does. Yeah. In other words, if now the garment needs to be destroyed and all the garment has is just the color of Arla, that's all it is, so then, of course it has its own identity. So Rava says, well, no. And that maybe we could, what we could say over here is that this case is different. Even though it is benefit, but benefit only to the eye, right?
Visual.
Art, okay? What kind of benefit does art give you? All it does is it gives you, obviously it's a value, and sometimes it could be an unbelievable value, but all it does is just simply give you pleasure to the eye. So, Hanan Erli Anai Masotara. So, in the context of Arla, meaning localized to the parsha of Arla, we have this idea that even though it is only a visual benefit and no other sensory benefit, for Arla, that's enough to constitute Isser. Titanya Arelam Lo Ye Achel. The Torah says, when it comes to Arla, you're not allowed to eat it. Now, you know we're going beyond this point. How do I know that in addition to an Isser Achila, there's also an Isser Hana. There's also, you're not allowed to color. There's also, you're not allowed to use it for illumination. Tamalomar. The Torah repeatedly reuses the words Arla to tell us that beyond Achila, there's also Nisar Ahana. So the Rabbah says Kulam, and that is an inclusionary term. And now basically what we're doing is that for Arla, the Isar Hana is a broad inclusionary term, meaning it covers basically things that are Hana and even just the edges of Hana, right? Every permutation of Hana, including which Hana Nerele Anayim, meaning even if it's just a visual pleasure, right? I'm not benefiting it financially. All I'm doing is just simply looking and enjoying. That also for Arla is going to be Aser as well. So the Gemara says, you're right, but it's not a broad application. You're right that by Arla, just the color of Arla is going to be Aser, and that would represent a Nisar Hana, but specific to Arla because of the Pasuk. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's try this again. Beged shetzava b'klipa shvias, yidlak. If, let's say, I have a garment that was soaked with fruit of the Shemitah year. Now, fruit of the Shemitah year also has Kedusha, but it's not like Arla. Arla is also Bachilo Vana. When it comes to the fruit of Shemitah, it's not Aser. In fact, it's Mutter. In fact, you eat it, and it's a mitzvah to eat it. In other words, parents have Kedusha Shvius, it's a mitzvah to eat it. Right? It's one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. That's subject to a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. But for our purposes right now, all we need to know, we need to know right now, is that it's not Aser like Arla is Aser. So let's ask the question and let's see the Rashi. Let's first ask the question. So why is it that if I were to dye garments with perishvias, yidlak, I have to destroy the garment? Why should that be? Rashi writes, look at the bottom Rashi on the Amud. Also laso schor beperiseha. Yeah, you can eat perishvias. And again, it may in fact be a mitzvah to do so. But you can't do any type of commercial activity with the fruit other than eat it. And Rashi is saying that over here, when you dye a garment with the fruit of Shvius, that falls under the category of schora. That's commercial activity. Now, Nidnu. And Rashi points out over here, like we said by Arla, and we're now saying the same thing, that we're talking about specifically Peiros Shvi'is. It has to be the fruit of Shvi'is, and it is not the and it's not the wood. Okay, either way. So the reason why you have to burn it when the garment is dyed with Peiros Shvi'is is because it is you're doing commercial activity with something that you're not allowed to do commercial activity with, and therefore you'd like you have to destroy it. And again, what are we talking about over here? Color. That's all we're talking about. And so it sounds like over here that it has its own independent status, even though it's just a color on a garment. So the Gemara says, Hasam Damakra, Tia Bev Yasotehe. And again, the Gemara says that, yes, it's true, but again, this is now going to be localized to Peiros Shvi'is. The Torah says, Tia, right, Parshas Bahar, that describing the Peiros Shvi'is, that it will be in its state of Kedusha, and it will continuously be in its state of Kedusha, even after it changes form, even though it's just reduced to just a color. So, okay, so there we are now. Two areas in Halacha where the question of how do we look at color is just a simple question of does it still represent its original identity, or is it just... It doesn't have any status whatsoever. So now what we can say is that by Arla and by Peiros Shvi'is, it still retains its original identity.
I want to say it's the opposite. Because if you need a pusuk to prove it, then obviously the color is not.
Well, right.
If you need a pusuk, then
obviously... Right. So in other words, it's Without the Arla, you know, it comes out to the age old question of, in the pasuk's telling you halach, is it giving you the precedent or is it giving you the exception? So over here, or in other words, when the Torah said it by Arla, so the Gemara's understanding is that's the exception, and then not the rule, and then the Gemara quotes by Shvi'is, and the Gemara then says also that's an exception, that's not a rule, and again you're always left wondering which direction to go. So, but the Gemara's understanding over here is that it's an exception. Well, now that we know it's two psukim, so it makes the argument easier. Because shnei k'suvim abam kechen em alamdim. Although there is an opinion out there that says that we do, but okay, and that's me knowing too much information. Okay, Rava Rami. Okay, Rava asks now the following question. He's going to pit two Mishnahs against one another. Begit shetzava b'kli b'arla yidlak. So the first Mishnah, which is the second time we're hearing it this morning, the Mishnah in Arla that says that if I took a garment and dyed it with the dye of Arla fruit, so I have to destroy it. Ama chazusa milsehi. So you see that the color still has the identity of Arla, and therefore needs to be destroyed. Or Rimenu, and the Gemara says, and on that I'm going to ask the following question, which is Revi'is Dam. Let's say I have a Revi'is Log of blood. We're talking about the blood of the human being. We know that the Kazayis may say, if I have human remains, flesh specifically, and I have a Kazayis, so it's Metame Bimaga, Uvamasa Uva'ol. So the transmission of Tumah can come either through contact, through carrying, or for being under the same roof. That is for the for the flesh. If we're talking about the bones has its own standard of how many bones you need in order to convey all three. Maga, Masa, and Ohel. Now we're up to the blood. When it comes to the blood of a human, so Revi'is Dam is going to be Metame Be Maga, Vamasa, Ohel. Also, as long as you have a Revi'is of the blood, so it's also going to be Metame in all three ways. Revi'is Dam Shenivla Babayas. So let's say the blood gets absorbed into the house. So, meaning it gets absorbed into the floor of the house. So, Habayis Tame. So there are two versions of the Mishnah, meaning, or maybe Mishnah and Braisa, but there are two versions in terms of whether or not the house is subject to Tumas Ohel, or it's not subject to Tumas Ohel. And one Braisa says Tamin, the other Braisa says Tahor, Vilo Pligi. Obviously, it needs a resolution. The Gemara immediately gives one. Habakem Dava Mekara, Habakem Dava Silvisof. So the Gemara says it depends whether or not it was in the house. The kli was in the house prior, or it was in the house after. Now, the nivla biksus. If you take a look at Rashi over here, the Rashi fourth line down, Bekelim, Dahava Babais Kodim Shenivla, Shahaisa Be'en, V'ahil Abais Aleha, V'ala Kelim V'nitmu. If the Kli was in the house,
and it was still
right, when it was still there, prior to its absorption into the ground, so the kli is going to be tummy, because you had a revius of blood in the house at the same time of the kli. However, if absorption and then the kli is introduced to the house, well, once it's absorbed, so then it's no longer a source of tumah. It's only going to be a source of tumah when it's there. Okay, Adkan, that's the first part of the Mishnah, and a quick resolution. It's the next part that we're interested in for our discussion. Nivlu b'ksus. Let's say you have a revius of blood of a human body, and it gets absorbed into a garment. So now, absorb blood in a garment. Is it going to be metami tumas ohel or not? Rowan. So on this, the Mishnah says the following. Im miskabeses haksus v'yotzi mimen revius dam tamei avim lav tahora. If blood can be extracted, not just blood, but revius of blood can be extracted from the garment, so then it's going to be tamei. And if a revius of blood cannot be extracted from the garment, it's going to be tahor. Okay. So where do we stand right now? So previously we said that when you have color in a garment, it's significant. That is what we learned regarding Arla. And meanwhile, the Mishnah we just learned in Ohalos is telling us that only when it's extracted, only when it's extracted is it going to be Tameh. But inside, while it's in the garment, it is not going to be a source of Tumah. These seem to be at odds with one another. So the Gemara says, okay, over here, could very well be that the Mishnah Ohalos is not talking about the classic blood coming post-mortem. Any blood coming from human remains post-mortem is going to be a source of tumah. Over here we're talking about dam tvusa. Dam tvusa, it's subject to a couple of explanations what it means, but for our purposes, we'll limit ourselves to Rashi over here on our daf. Rashi over here says that we're talking about somebody who was murdered, and blood came out of him both prior to the point of death and post-mortem, after the point of death, and the bloods got mixed together. Rashi writes, "Dam tavusa haruk sheyatzim imenu revias dam bechayav avamoso safek kula bechayav safek kula bemoso beperatinokas." Quoting the Gemara Nida, Rashi over here describes that we do have a revias blood and it does come out from the body. We just don't know whether majority came out prior to death, post death, or you know, we don't know. So now it's a question of safek. And
is there a min b'min issue here also?
It's a well.
No,
there is, I'll tell you what, there is very chazaka issues, because he was alive. So, okay, and the bleeding started...
There's two different statuses as well.
Right, correct. So, okay, but there certainly is a chazaka. Okay, anyway, yes, all this is true, but for our purposes, what we need to know is it's a safek, and the fact that the house is tamei now is subject to a chumra derabanan, so here we're going to be mekel, and we're going to say that if the blood is absorbed in a garment, so then on a Torah level, we can make the argument that it still has its own independent entity, and therefore the house should be tamei tumas ohel. But because over here with this particular blood in question is only tamei mederabanan, so therefore it gives us the right to be mekel, and we're going to say that the house is tummy only after the blood has been removed from the garden, not before that point in time. Okay. Let's do it. Okay, so Rav Rami Tanan, Mimin Atzovim Svichis, Sitim Vikotze, Yeshlaim Shvias, Ul Demeim Shvias, Yeshlaim Bior, Ul Demeim Bior. So Rava poses now the following question. We learned in the Mishnah in Shvias, right, Shemitah, that if I have various fruit that come off the field, and it's going to be used for dyes, it's subject to Shemitah. And any exchange for these items also is going to be subject to Shemitah as well. Yesh lam biur l'demein biur, and subject to the mitzvah of biur, and any exchange for them is also going to be subject to biur as well. Biur means that as long as the fruit is out in the field, you can eat it. Once the season is over, and the fruit is no longer out in the field, so you have an obligation to destroy the Peir Shvias. Now, destruction of Peir Shvias is subject to a machlokus between the Rishonim, the Rambam, the Ramban, the Ravid, in terms of exactly how destruction occurs, but for our purposes right now, Alma, Eitzim Yesh Lahem Mishum Kedusha Shvias. Now, but for our purposes right now, all the thing we're going to focus on is the fact that the wood described over here is subject to the Kedusha Shvias, the Reminu. But the Gemara says, but the question is really simple. We have now the following braisa. Ale kanim, ale gefanim, shegivavam bechava, So over here, we're also describing wood, and if it's for the purposes of illumination, if I'm just want the wood, so it does not subject to Kedusha Shvius. So what we have over here is a discrepancy between the Mishnah and Shvius and that which we learned in the Gemara and Sukkah. A brice according to the Gemara and Sukkah. Umishani amakra lachla b'misha anav yaroshavim yaseh etzim shanasa achar b'yuran. So the Gemara says we have a guideline. What is subject to a Kedusha Shvius and what is not? In order for something to be subject to the Kedusha Shvius, the Torah says it has to be something consumable, and that means that where its removal and its benefit are occurring simultaneously. And that's a wonderful description of eating. Eating is where I am destroying the item, I'm not destroying the item, I'm removing the item, I'm consuming the item, and the benefit are coming simultaneously. Anything that follows that guideline is subject to Kedusha Shvius. Anything where they are segregated, where the benefit and its consumption do not occur at the same time, is going to be, is not going to be subject to Kedusha Shvius. Wood is something where first I burn it, and then the coals later on are going to be used for fuel. So, but in other words, the destruction and its benefit are not coming simultaneously. The Gemara says, now, there are some woods which are very oily. And then the purpose of these woods are to be used for illumination. So if that's true, so now I have a wood where Biur and Hanar are coming simultaneously. And shouldn't we now say that that's subject to Kedusha Shvius? So the Gemara says, Amarav Astam Eitzim La'asaka Heinomdim. So the Gemara says, they're out there, but that's not the default. The default wood is some is wood that's going to be used for fuel. Wood used for fuel, first you consume, then you benefit. And so as a result of that, so generally speaking, we're going to say by wood that it's subject to, it's not going to be subject to Kedusha Shvius, Mash Enkein, when it comes to the fruit. Let's quickly recap. Okay, we started the Mishnah today on Daf Kuf Amud Beis. We talked about where you give work for a craftsman to do. We talked about where he did a, where he destroyed it. He did an inferior job, or he changed the color of upon instruction. And so, in all three of these cases, the Mishnah dealt with what is going to be his liability. If he destroyed it, he has to pay back the raw material that was given to him. If he did an inferior job, so he's going to get paid, but he's only going to get paid either Shevach or Yisir, whichever is the less of the two. And if he changed color, so Machlokas Hatanayim, exactly what he needs to what he needs to do for remuneration. And then for the most part of today's daf, we discussed the question of dye now turned into a color. Does the color have its own independent status? And just as a quick summary, for Arla and for Shvius, the answer is yes, it still retains its independent status. For things like damages and remuneration, Gemara left that question open-ended. We don't know. And then we talked about color still absorbed in a garment vis-a-vis Tumas Meis. And the Gemara says there also, it could be that we're just talking about a question of a Din D'Rabban and not a Din D'Oraisa.